to Pick Your Take, the film podcast where everyone's entitled to be wrong. I'm your host, Isaac Leggett.
And I am also your host, Chris Demoulas. Today we're asking our reminiscing audience to pick your take on the films of 2021.
Yeah. So it's the week between Christmas and New Year's, yes. And we're kind of just putting out a short episode because we're trying to give ourselves a bit of the week off. So we thought it would be fun to look back on this year.
Yeah, we thought it would be interesting maybe to take a look at the movies that we've liked and disliked this year. Actually, full disclosure, I initially thought it was going to be more of a list of like liked films and disliked films, but we're going to treat it more like a list of one. And the only reason why I brought that up is because I definitely, full disclosure to the audience, I did a marathon of three movies basically in one day.
Christmas.
For the purposes of just wanting to see these movies, having the day off, for the first day off in a while. And I'm like, you
making
know,
me feel like an asshole.
But you know what? Don't, because all three movies were really enjoyable, and I'm sure we'll talk about them someday, but all three
and
movies
I
enjoyed.
I also feel like I distinctly remember us being like, we're going to talk about our least favorite movie of the year and our favorite movie of the year. Which, I feel like that was literally the conversation.
It's fine. I probably miscommunicated it or something.
Because also, I mean, my side of it is that like, most of the movies that I watched this year were movies for the podcast. Hell, if I have the timing, especially because like usually we're kind of like a TV household, you know, we try to jump and watch movies, but like if I watch a movie once or twice a week, I'm lucky. So usually most of the movies that I'm watching are for this podcast. So
I'm the same way, honestly. Usually I'm the same way, but I did it specifically because I'm like, I need to watch some more films. But yeah, it was. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I am very kind of behind on, I'm behind on the most up-to-date movies of 2021, or at least most of them. And I'm not going to beat myself up over it, but I am certainly going to have more opinions as the months go. And I think that we're going to be trying to find some movies from last year for us to do full episodes on.
Yes, I think so.
Because I think that would be a nice way to kind of reflect back on things, like find ones we can really dig in on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, yeah, today we're just going to be talking about kind of our most disliked movie of 2021 and our favorite movie so far of 2021. And I guess this might change as we watch more
and
movies
then,
from 2021. Right. But
and then probably a pile of honorable mentions. Which is fair because I have those too.
All right, good. But yeah, we're taking a little bit. It's the week between, as Isaac said, between Christmas and New Year's, and we're kind of taking a little bit of a break, doing a little bit of a shorter bonus episode. But yeah, so I guess let's start.
Hey, Chris.
Okay, I guess we'll start with me. Ask your question. You got it out.
I didn't realize it was a race. I just saw the moment. Hey Chris, what movie did you hate this year?
So this is an easy one for me, actually. I have three that sort of pop into my mind as kind of the very bottom of this year in my mind.
Some dishonorable mentions as well.
Dishonorable mentions, maybe. Army of the Dead. Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, but not actually
Bam.
Called that. Just the film directed by Zack Snyder, and I think written by him as well. That movie's abysmal. That movie's abysmal. I don't think there's... I think there's very little... I don't know if I thought about a number for it because I watched it once, but I don't ever want to watch it again. Not much to
it.
Can
I ask you something about it?
Yes.
Is there something to do with like a time loop in that movie? Because I've never seen this movie. It didn't look very good to me. And I feel like I see these like articles around like the dumb bullshit, you know, movie news websites that I still patronize. And I feel like I always hear something about like a time loop relative to Army of the Dead. Does that movie have anything to do with a fucking time loop?
I mean, if it did, I didn't notice it. And even if it did have that in it, I don't think it would make it any better. But I wasn't aware. I wasn't aware of any time loop. I'm trying to think.
Man, what the fuck is that movie? That's so dumb.
It's basically, yeah, it's indescribably stupid, and the characters are just really boring to watch the entire time. And I kind of do enjoy Dave Bautista in things. I even mentioned kind of recently this. Oh, I'd have to look it up. I feel so bad.
This well, Dave Bautista. Well, we talked Bautista, about Bautista.
The movie that I talked about Blade was Runner like episode. The movie that I'm referring to is a movie that I saw that took place in a soccer stadium, or if you live in Europe, I guess a football stadium, sort of like Die Hard.
Die Hard on a football pitch.
Exactly. Whatever that was. Like, that was a stupid movie where Dave Bautista was well utilized, and the movie actually became kind of good because of him, because he was just a convincing, like action hero. And Army of the Dead really doesn't utilize anything well. Like, it's just a mess. It's a big old just sloppy mess. It has weird zombies that have glowing eyes as if they're robots, and apparently that's tying into a larger universe. But yeah, that
weird.
Yeah, that is definitely the bottom of the barrel for me. And then the other two that I'll just mention.
I have two questions on Army of the Dead.
Sure.
One, is it at all related to Zack Snyder's probably only like truly good film, Dawn of the Dead? Is it related to that?
That's what I wanted it to be, but
not at all.
To my view, no, not really, man. Like I don't see any relation. And I agree, Dawn of the Dead is a great movie. It's a great movie.
Okay. Question two, how does the digital integration of Tig Notaro into the film look?
I mean, it's fine. I didn't notice that she was digitally put in, but it's not like she's also not really great in it. Like
having a conversation with anyone. No. She shot all of her scenes directly on a green screen.
Yeah, and a lot of it she is alone, because a lot of it she's sort of like with the helicopter trying to repair the helicopter, and they just sort of give her these like quippy lines that are supposed to be funny or interesting, but they never are. And yeah, that is just, it's not Sucker Punch, but Army of the Dead is pretty bad.
Okay, so fuck that movie. What were your dishonorable mentions?
I was gonna mention dishonorable mentions are Malignant, which is directed by James Wan, which spoilers to Malignant.
Right.
Spoilers to Malignant. I'm gonna talk about how stupid the ending of this movie is.
We're gonna get real.
Malignant is a story about a twin that was never actually fully born, but it's like
absorbed in the womb.
Absorbed, not really absorbed in the womb, absorbed in the head brain cavity of the other twin. So if you crack the skull open and open it, there's literally a face underneath her skull. Man, it's stupid. And then
wait, but is it like a good the argument I have heard for Malignant, it is like a big insane like campy fit, like practical makeup gross out effect.
I didn't enjoy it at all. I didn't enjoy Malignant at all.
Because part of that sounds like a fucking blast. That sounds like just gnarly.
No, I didn't think
so. Doesn't it go around killing people and shit?
I mean, I'm trying to think. Yes, but when she is going around, I guess hard spoilers to Malignant, she is kind of going around killing people as this other evil entity, she's sort of like disguised in this way that is just the entity just really doesn't look interesting to look at. The only thing that's interesting about it is its bones kind of like crack, and she can kind of like contort her body in weird ways, which isn't really all that scary, but the effect is, it's cool to look at. It's a visual effect, obviously, that's just well done. But other than that, yeah, there's not much. Malignant is definitely better than Army of the Dead, but didn't think that was much better. And then dishonorable mention number two, which I need to watch a second time because it might be, it might be M. Night Shyamalan's best unintentional comedy. So I need to go and watch it. But Old is truly my first viewing of it. I thought Old was terrible. But as it ended, I sort of thought to myself, like, maybe if I go back and watch that in the right state of mind, that'll be one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I would compare it to something like The Happening, which I think is one of his... I think that's M. Night Shyamalan satirizing The Birds, and I think it's hysterical. I think it's one of the funniest things. Yeah,
for me, The Happening does not have... anywhere near enough energy to be funny or entertaining or satirical. That movie is flatter than fucking day old beer.
That's a really funny way of putting it. But Isaac, so those
I gotta see Old.
You gotta see Old, and I need to see it again. I will actually see Old again, and I guess that's why it's sort of like dishonorable mention number two, because
right
of Malignant and Army of the Dead, I won't watch those two. Old, I'll watch one more time. I'll watch Old again.
Interesting. That's an interesting way to put it. Like a thing you're like, I didn't like it, but I'd examine it again.
I'd examine that thing again.
I gotta see Old. I've heard it's a very, very weird thing. For whatever it is, it's a lot of weird shit. And so I'm good with that. I can always support like a person with a mid-range budget taking a cast and going and doing something weird. So I should check that out.
And I won't spoil it because I went with, I think, three other people, well, and two of those people enjoyed it. So,
and
you know, it's one of those things.
Well, I don't want to, but I mean, it's, well, Beach makes you old, right?
Well, that is the twist. There is no, like, well, actually, there is a bigger twist, but that is right. Kind of, yeah, that is the thriller premise. Yes, yes.
Right. Peach makes you old.
Isaac, what is your most disliked movie so far of 2021?
Okay, so this was interesting because... when we were first doing this, obviously, as I was kind of saying, like, I'm not beating myself up over it, but I am, like, behind on a lot of, like, modern movies this year.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, most of the ones that I did get around to seeing, I more or less either liked or loved. Because if it was something that I was unsure about, I just kind of, like, didn't fucking go see it. And so I almost would feel bad because I was like, okay, of the movies I like went out and saw in the theaters, there were like new movies this year. Maybe my least favorite would have been like Shang-Chi, but that's like a 6 out of 10 for me and is like not a bad movie. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it's like not a movie that I really would want to be punching down on. And so I almost was like, I don't have a least favorite movie of the year. But Chris, I figured it out. I went and saw the new Spider-Man movie today. And it does all of these really cool, fun Spider-Verse ideas and is so poorly written and so poorly directed and staged at almost every turn that it is... It's just a terrible movie.
That's too bad to hear. I kind of suspected it because, to be fully honest, like I don't enjoy the other two Tom Holland starring Spider-Man movies. Like I don't think any of them have been good so far.
The screenplay sucks. It is so written. They put so much into all of these characters, but it all kind of feels equally like too much and yet somehow barely anything at all. I don't know how that makes sense.
No, I agree. And there's no, and it's surprisingly really lacking in charm, even though it's trying so hard to.
Wow, great way to put it.
Really charming.
And no, and there are a couple of charming performances in the movie.
Yeah.
There are characters who come in and out that really don't get like the whole movie's worth to actually be a full character, which is frustrating. Not like because like they're like immediately killed off or something, just because like the plot takes you elsewhere and you're just like, oh yeah, I guess like we haven't fucking seen this person in like 30 minutes or something.
Right.
And so like that kind of just like there's like no urgency, no tension. The action and the presentation, the introduction of most of the characters are all so ridiculously poorly staged and awkward, and I just I'm blown away by it.
Man.
There's a couple of performances that really land. Zendaya is good. She's a good fucking actress, turns out. I mean, I've seen her in other things and she's good. So, but you know what I mean? Like, big surprise, the good actor is a good actor, and so she's good in that. I don't like Tom Holland. There's another performance that, like, I guess if we're not spoiling the movie because it's still a new movie, I shouldn't talk about the other performance that's a really good performance in the movie. But there's another performance in the movie that's like probably my best supporting actor of the year.
Cool. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I guess I'll leave it unspoiled. So I'll go in without knowing. But to be honest with you, I'm probably, so we're seeing, so full disclosure, we're recording this. This is coming out, I think, on the 29th.
Right.
I might be wrong, but we're recording this on Tuesday, December 21st. So it's just after the weekend Spider-Man opened. And I just remember I was so annoyed because a few days before the opening was coming, even though I had known that the ticket sales on Fandango had been like the largest ever since Endgame, even the pre-sales were huge on Spider-Man. There were all these articles coming out that's like, oh, Sony's predicting like a much like lower opening weekend, which even to that it was like 140 million or something like that.
Yeah, it's like fucking eat me. Like, it's like in a weekend it became the highest grossing film of the year. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
And dude, like, I the whole time I was reading it, I was just like, this is Spider-Man. Like,
it's
how many times has a Spider-Man movie come out and like everyone's just thought like, oh, it's Spider-Man, this won't be that big, and then like the first Sam Raimi is just like,
yeah,
just like instantly one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
And it's like every Spider-Man is that. You have to really be a bad Spider-Man movie to turn people off from it. Yeah. And it always comes to a point of excess because there has been, because there always is first success with Spider-Man and then excess, and then it kind of all falls apart. And the, like, when you have multiple generations of like the existing Marvel fan base and this being kind of like a sequel to the Sam Raimi films in its own weird way, is kind of a thing that I felt like I was like, I had it being like lorded over me. Like it was like being held where it was like, hey, this cool idea for a movie is being held hostage by a shitty film trilogy. And I'm like, well, you motherfuckers. And so I went and saw it, but I was like, I want to be able to experience this. Like my most inner nerd self would want to be into it. So I was like, I got to go see, I loved Into the Spider-Verse. And it's just like, it's just a movie that just is, it's really, it's just overly written, underdeveloped. I don't know how that makes sense, but it's overly written, underdeveloped, poorly staged. Oof.
That's really too bad to hear, honestly. But I wasn't, the point I was going to make is basically, I'm not really planning on seeing this movie in theaters.
Yeah.
So that maybe it's a good thing not to spoil it, because I just, I kind of feared that's what it would be. And it just always sort of felt like, I think you described it at one point in the in one of our previous episodes as sort of, might even been the last episode on Family Stone, the new Spider-Man franchise, like putting on the dead corpse of like Sam Raimi's franchise and like dancing around or something with it. And that's sort of what it looks like. And the only reason why I'm going to see it is because I want whatever information I need to have to be set up for the Doctor Strange movie that is going to be directed by Sam Raimi. And then I'm just going to watch the Sam Raimi movie.
Nothing you need.
Nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. There's no like, it's just basically because of the like fact that this spell fucked up things. Now that's why the Multiverse of Madness happens probably. Well, I guess we should stop. We're getting into spoilers.
Yeah, I mean,
too bad to hear that.
No,
No Way Home, Spider-Man No Way Home is not good.
Like they kind of put a button on it, the way the movie's over, you know. If they are opening up a multiverse for, you know, they talk about the obviously this is talking about the multiverse, so I imagine the idea of travel, but it's not like there's this whole like, whoa, now it's all open. Like, that's not like how the movie ends or anything. It's like,
okay. Well, then, never mind.
It's
I
not
even
the
know
end if of Evil Dead 2 of them all spiraling down a fucking, you know,
damn it,
just a phonograph. Sorry.
I want the opening of Multiverse of Madness to just be like Tom Holland, Doctor Strange in a car just tumbling, falling out of the sky into a desert.
It is. There is. I mean, oddly enough, there's like a character that it might be interesting if they show up in Multiverse of Madness from this. But, but that
maybe I'll watch it.
No, there's like two or three things that are worth experiencing in it. I don't even know if there's two or three fully good scenes in the film.
That's too bad.
It's a bummer. And it's a bit of a piece of crap.
I think... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Because I was going to kind of... You know, go ahead.
We can change the subject in a moment, but I was just going to say that Homecoming, really, I only enjoy for a few moments because of Michael Keaton. But the second one, I really didn't like the second Tom Holland Spider-Man movie. So I wasn't looking forward to this newest one. But yeah, that's all. I just wanted to say that. But I guess we could move on.
Yeah, man, it's a bummer.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. But I guess there was like a moment that got me kind of emotionally. Well, there was like a moment that got me emotionally.
Okay.
But it was truly down to just like real predictable ass tried and true Spider-Man shit that was like delivered by a couple of good actors. So I was like, yeah, that's, you know, you got me.
Okay.
Like,
okay. I see.
But and when you should, I guess, see the movie at some point. But fuck that movie. Whatever, fuck that movie. Yeah, it was not good. But there's like a couple of things of value in it. I'd probably give it a 3 out of 10.
Okay.
Okay.
Army of Dead. I would give a 1.
Dag. Yeah. One. Good. Yeah. Cool. Fuck that movie. I don't even know if I really have any other like real like dishonorable mentions. There weren't a lot of movies that I saw this year. I mean, I guess like Tom and Jerry, I didn't really fucking love. It wasn't fucking awful, but I mean,
Definitely disliked it.
I disliked it, but you know, when I don't have like vitriol for Tom and Jerry, it's just like not a good movie. Like,
that is Tom and Jerry is probably in my top 5 movies from this year. I can say that.
Yeah, but I just the guy who brought a list, yeah, could probably say that.
Maybe.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, Isaac.
What did you love this year, 2021?
So this year, there's a... I don't know if it's because people really didn't like this movie, but I wonder if this movie, I Care a Lot, which I've mentioned before on this podcast...
which I still gotta watch.
Which you need to see. It is available on, I believe, Netflix.
It's a Netflix movie.
Yes, it is a Netflix movie. Yeah, I just wanted to be certain of that. It's a Netflix movie that, if you go to IMDb, and this is something that is a little annoying about IMDb, but I get why they do it. If you go to IMDb, it says it's a 2020 release, but it only premiered at film festivals in 2020, at 3 different film festivals, the Toronto International, the Zurich, and the Film Fest Gent. And it didn't actually like come out online until February 2021, and whenever I was trying to look at lists of like movies from 2021, this movie was never mentioned, and I Care a Lot is such a good movie that is very polarizing, and I do recognize that. I think if you go to Rotten Tomatoes right now, the critics have it very high, and I think the audiences have it very low. It is definitely a movie that is like hugely polarizing for some reason, because you're kind of watching, I've sort of mentioned the plot before, it's a woman who, spoilers to it if you don't want to know, but I won't give away too much, but it's basically the premise.
Wait,
is, sorry, go ahead.
May I try it? Since you've described it, let's see if I can remember it.
Sure, go ahead.
She comes in and makes herself a representative for elderly people, and then puts them into homes and sells off their estates and basically gets all the money from their estates, right?
Yes, that is the...
And then, like, ends up with one of the ladies she's scamming. She pisses off, like, the lady's son, who's, like, a mobster, and then there's, yes, like, a couple other side plots and shit, right?
Yes, 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 exactly.
Right, okay, yeah.
That is the plot. And it involves a lot of...
Nailed it, cool.
Nailed it. Yeah, actually, yes, I will give you a... I'll give you a soft clap for that. That was very well done for a person who hasn't seen it. But yeah,
appreciate
if you go
that.
To, I went to Rotten Tomatoes, 79% by critics, 33% by audiences. Apparently,
wow.
So there's
so, like,
definitely
the exact other piece of the pie.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's really funny. But I just think this is a movie of really dislikable people. Obviously, you're watching a lot of really dislikable characters, but these are like career performances for me, for Rosamund Pike, Peter Dinklage, Isa Gonzalez, like Diane Wiest, I will even mention, in Chris Messina. Like, they're all putting
right
career great performances, and it's such a tale that sort of, you have to watch Rosamund Pike's character because she's the main character and you're just watching her do what she does. But the movie definitely has this ability to kind of make you're rooting for her, in my opinion, because she is so driven against people that she clearly should not be, like, choosing this fight against. Like, it's definitely, and then the ending,
that's great.
The ending is a nice gut punch. And it's just, it's all, yeah, this is it's one of those movies that kind of leaves you in a very mixed place, which is something I love when a movie can do that. And just, yeah, I can't express enough that Peter Dinklage in this movie is fucking terrifying and fucking hysterical. And just, it's, I love I Care a Lot. I love it. I love it so much. Easily my favorite movie of this year. Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe your thought is that it, for a long time, was easily your favorite movie of the year.
It was for a long time easily my favorite, but then, okay, I guess I have to tell this now. So today,
honorable mention.
I had a, yeah, I guess honorable mentions. Well, one of them is an honorable mention. I watched three movies today, and I watched The Power of the Dog, I watched No Sudden Move, and then I finished it off with Pig. And I really enjoyed No Sudden Move and Pig, but I would say that the honorable mention really should go to The Power of the Dog. I think that was one of the most beautiful movies that I've ever seen, and I would compare it to something like At Eternity's Gate in just its ability to just make images look like paintings that should be in museums. Like, it's really a beautifully photographed film, and it's just a character study. It's very much a character study about people, and you don't always, once again, it's similar to I Care a Lot, I guess, in the sense that you don't always go with the characters and what they're doing. You don't always root for the characters, but there is,
right,
there is just so much subtext, I think, to The Power of the Dog. And the ending,
that is Jane Campion, man. She is just all about, like,
yeah,
these, like, repressed, unspoken, subtextual interactions.
Yeah, and I've only seen two of her shorts before this movie, actually. I'd never seen any of her features, and it was a pretty impressive. Yeah, I think it was pretty, it's a pretty perfect film. I think both Power of the Dog and I Care a Lot are pretty perfect films in very different ways, but they both have kind of unlikable characters to some extent, although the characters and I care a lot are far more deplorable.
I really got to see The Power of the Dog. I having Netflix, it makes it less and less excusable that I haven't seen it, because I really want to fucking see that movie, because I think the only Jane Campion film I've seen is The Piano, and you know, I've told about like my family's relationship with The Piano, finding it to be a depressing movie, but it's a really incredible movie. And I think that she's just a really like brutally like thoughtful and empathetic filmmaker in a way that doesn't pull punches. And I'm really excited for the Power of the Dog. And it's a bunch of actors that I love seeing and stuff, and I would love for Benedict Cumberbatch to have a win after seeing him in the fucking Spider-Man movie that I just saw. So like it feels good to move in that direction.
I think it's I talked about the performances and I care a lot. I definitely think the performance of people like Benedict Cumberbatch and Kirsten Dunst, and Jesse Plemons, it's all career like highs for all of them. I think it's pretty great in terms of like performances as well. And yeah, that both that movie I watched them without Natalie. She actually showed up for the last like 30 minutes of Pig, which gets pretty sad.
Probably a weird 30 minutes of a movie, I imagine.
Yeah, and it gets pretty sad too. It was interesting. But I'm looking forward to rewatching The Power of the Dog and No Sudden Move with Natalie, because
that's a great movie.
Are gonna be, yeah, No Sudden Move is a great movie. But as soon as I watched it, I'm like, I need to watch that again.
Oh yeah. That is No Sudden Move, if somebody put a gun to my head and asked me to describe the third act of that film, there's no fucking way. I would die today.
I like the way, I feel like it pulls you along though, like as opposed to a,
it is a vibe,
as opposed to kind of a, I know it's something you like, but as opposed to something like Inherent Vice, which is sort of a mystery that is so incomprehensible that I almost can't even enjoy that movie, I can comprehend the mystery behind No Sudden Move. Like I can follow it, but I know that if I watch it again, I'll be able to go like, oh, with like seeing certain characters and stuff.
There is a third act actor who shows up really just in the third act of No Sudden Move, who has like only like a couple, like one real big scene, but you know, has like a couple scenes, and basically like, I'm not going to go too deep into it, one because it's a great appearance by the actor, but also just that he kind of just like goes through like why everything everyone has been doing is ultimately fucking pointless, and it just is so, it's such a fucking like slap in the face when you think about it, and it's just so good. That movie's that movie's so fucking good.
So I think are you referring to, I just want to say, you know, maybe this isn't spoilers to the movie, are you talking about the performance of Bill Duke?
No, I'm talking about Matt Damon.
Oh, that's so funny. See, I do it. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree that he really communicates that actually well. Okay.
He literally is like, I'm going to do this, and then you're going to do that, and that's going to go there, and then this, that bag of money is going to come right back to my fucking table.
No, it definitely has the feeling of like, what would you say? It all kind of amounts to nothing in the end. But I definitely, it was one of those movies that I enjoyed. And I was almost
but
like
it
thinking
also,
at first, you were talking about the performance of Bill Duke, who just shows up kind
no,
of for
who's
the end
great.
Of this movie.
He's so good. And that's the part, the Cheadle part, the moments of something like Bill Duke, the final images of Cheadle kind of walking off, are why the movie does kind of feel like it was ultimately for something, because he's like, I got mine and I got out, and whatever the fuck else.
That's true. That's true.
So, like, that's the thing that it all feels. I think that that's why you're saying there's this, like, you still feel like you have a grip on something because it all feels crazy, and you still have to take a minute and be like, okay, wait, so who the fuck went, like, so who was there? And you kind of, like, work your way through things, but you also know how you feel with him, like, popping out of that fucking trunk at the end.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And so, That's a great fucking movie.
No, you honestly are making me want to even go back and watch it even more the way you're talking about it, because I'm just like, you're right. Okay, I'm missing these things. It's See, this is why I need to go back. Ah, Soderbergh and Ed Solomon, man, they kind of... Because they've done, didn't they? Oh, never mind. I guess they didn't actually work together a bunch of times before this. I thought for some reason they had worked together more than once, but I guess Ed Solomon,
yeah, I guess not.
He had written Men in Black, and I guess that's where I knew his name.
Right.
And also the earlier Bill and Ted movies, but I did not realize.
Right, that's where I remember that name.
Oh, and the most recent one. Okay, so wait a minute. Steven Soderbergh is one of the producers for Bill and Ted Face the Music, so that's also probably how Ed
Okay,
Solomon
so they've certainly
Steven
developed
Soderbergh.
A relationship in the last
cool.
few years.
That's a great, but yeah, No Sudden Move.
That movie rocks.
Was definitely an honorable mention. But yeah, I guess that is my favorite so far of 2021.
Hells yeah.
Hey, Isaac. Hey, Isaac, I have a question for you. What's your favorite
movie? Hey, Chris, what is it?
What's your favorite movie right now of 2021?
Okay, so I think that my three favorite movies of this year are pretty accurate representation of who I am as a filmmaker and film goer. Well, maybe not one of them is a maker, but you know what I mean. It's like the things that give me inspiration and I really enjoy and like really get the joy of movies out of. My favorite movie from this year is David Lowery's The Green Knight.
You've mentioned this before. I need to watch this one. I still have not seen it.
It is so good. And it's like super low key. It's very pensive. There's a lot of like long takes that almost like remind me of like the type of shit that we and all of our friends would do on like your first chance of getting to fucking film something with a dolly in film school or something, right? Those sorts of kind of the sweepy or obvious camera moves that you would like, that you're really proud of when you think of them early on, but once you really kind of start watching a lot of movies, they become almost like painfully obvious and you're like, okay, maybe let's try a little bit more subtlety in our camera work here. You know, it's not all about like the big long shots or the fancy camera moves or whatever.
Okay.
And the movie is kind of this perfect balance of it, of like this, it feels like there is this young eagerness that is certainly within the main character of Dev Patel's Garwin, as they call him in the film. And, this eagerness that he has going out, and that even though this is Lowry's, you know, he's been kind of pounding out some great movies over the last decade or so. And so like, you know, he's not like initially necessarily like a young buck with something to prove. Like the guy made fucking Pete's Dragon for Disney, but the filmmaking has like the energy of a young, like a person with something to prove, which is very much the character. But it also then takes those like sweeping long tracking shots and be like, I'm gonna make those like an extra like third longer than they probably should be, to the point that it's like uncomfortable and kind of awkward, and really kind of push people's patience with how long they'll make you sit in things. And there's a lot of silence, but it's beautifully captured. It looks incredible. All the supporting performances are great. Alicia Vikander plays two different roles. She's amazing. It's just a great fucking movie. Cool. Dude, The Green Knight is fucking awesome.
I've wanted to... Yeah, I need to see it. You've mentioned it before, and I have... I don't think I've really seen anything by David Lowery. I've always wanted to see A Ghost Story. Have not yet.
Yep.
But other than that, I haven't seen anything by him yet.
Well, he's done, Ghost Story, Old Man and the Gun, which was that Robert Redford film, which was like a real kind of crowd pleaser within like the indie world. And he did Pete's Dragon. And so he's like kind of worked in the studio system mildly, or not mildly, truly. He like made a Pete's Dragon adaptation. It's weird. And the guy's just a beautiful filmmaker. He's a really thoughtful and compelling guy who just seems to really have a real confidence in his vision in every movie that he makes. Like every time you see a movie made by David Lowery, they're not all identical, but each one feels very, very intentional and confident in whatever it is trying to be. And it's really cool.
Cool.
And my, I guess, other honorable mentions this year, kind of the other two that show the spectrum, are F9, The Fast Saga.
I was wondering
easily
if this
my
movie
second
would come
favorite
up.
Film. Second favorite film of the year.
That's
one of
great.
The only ones I've seen twice this year. That's like a new film that I saw twice. I cried. I not cried, but like got teary both times. First time I was in the theaters, I kind of like assumed it was just because it was like the magic of being back in a movie theater, because I hadn't been in a movie theater in like over a year. And I was like, I'm in a movie theater. I'm watching Vin tumble around in a giant truck. And it's like, I was a little overwhelmed. And then I watched it at home and I got teary in a different scene. And it's good. It is so big and dumb. It is dumber than a box of fucking rocks. But it is like really achingly sincere. John Cena is better than he has any right to be. The quote unquote goes to space plot line is about as satisfying and funny as it could be.
Cool.
And F9 rocks. And then Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar is an absolute barn burner. And that might have that was like in the same pocket, I believe, when you're talking about I Care a Lot, where it was like, and like came out technically like January, February of 21, but was still kind of in that Oscar qualification for 2020, because that was extended through February. So a lot of movies Care a Lot maybe was still qualified for the 2020 Oscars,
right,
and stuff like that. And Barb and Star was right in that time as well. And that movie is straight up magic. It is absolutely beautiful. It's so good. Everybody should watch it. It's the best.
Yeah, that's one I need to see. Every time I watched trailers for it, it was always like, that doesn't look good at all. So if it's actually funny...
That is exactly the point, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I'll go in and watch that movie soon, because I've heard a lot. And I guess if we're going through our top three, because I mentioned No Sudden Move, but No Sudden Move would not be my third favorite movie from this year.
Oh, right.
That's easily, for me, Ghostbusters Afterlife. For me, it goes...
Oh, right, bummer.
I Care a Lot. The Power of the Dog, and then Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Ghostbusters Afterlife, right. That deserves to be mentioned.
It's my top three of this year.
I didn't see that. I guess I'd watch it. I don't have much nostalgia for Ghostbusters, and that kind of seems like the only point of that movie. So I don't know if I'm the target demo.
Maybe not, but I thought it was charming, and I'm gonna own that movie when it comes out on Blu-ray. I'm gonna get that.
It does have Carrie Coon in it, and she is a queen at whom's Walt. Jesus Christ, a queen who I worship at her altar. She's incredible. And I don't really like Stranger Things, but that kid's name is Finn Wolfhard, and that can never really be discredited. That kid's name is Finn Wolfhard.
The true standout of the movie, though, is McKenna Grace as, I don't even remember her character, Phoebe, I think.
That's not as good of a name, though.
But McKenna
as
Grace
Finn Wolfhard.
Is... Her performance, though,
that's cool.
As the granddaughter of Spangler or Egon, yeah,
right,
Egon Spangler,
right, right.
She's so fucking good at the movie. She like makes she well. She elevates the movie. she definitely, her performance definitely elevates nice. The movie, I would say.
That's dope. But yeah, so those are kind of like my big three for the year.
Cool. And so with that, our dear listeners, I guess we say goodbye to you guys for the last time in 2021.
Yeah, wow, what a fucking year.
Yeah, it's been yeah, for a lot of reasons it's been a lot of year, but just for this podcast as well, it's been super cool to get to 31 sort of full episodes, I guess, with you, Isaac, and with you guys as well, the people listening. It's
yeah, it's anyone who has stuck with us or is, you know, it's 3 years from now when we're famous and popular and everyone's working their way back through their back catalog and they're hearing this just now. We want you to know how much we appreciate you. It doesn't matter when you got involved. It's that you found us.
Well, now you jinxed it. Now. For anyone who's seen Ghostbusters Afterlife, once we get to episode 46, that's when we're really gonna find our voice.
I don't know what the fuck that means. Oh no, is there like a there's definitely podcasters in that movie. Okay. On that note, we're gonna say happy holidays to everybody. We really love you all. Happy New Year. It is a time, I guess, for renewal. So
yeah. And
take care of yourselves.
Fuck 2021, because we're going to be in 2022 soon.
Yeah, dude. And 2022 is going to be it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Are you excited? Well, I guess actually, I was going to say, are you excited for any upcoming movies that year? But I'm just excited for Matrix coming up tomorrow. So,
yeah, the Matrix comes out
tomorrow for us recording.
I'm gonna say tomorrow. And I'm going to have to spend all day tomorrow just walking around knowing that there's a Matrix movie I could be watching. I could be somewhere watching it. I could just fucking go. I could be like, now I'm watching a Matrix movie.
You could be.
A new one.
You could definitely, you could watch it with, you watch Spider-Man No Way Home with Evan. You should reach out to Evan and watch the Matrix.
Yeah, I know. I just don't know if I got shit to do. I don't know if the time to do it. Like, I'm going to have to wait a couple days. Like, I don't think I can do it tomorrow. And that's like a whole day of knowing that, like, I'm not seeing it.
I understand. Don't worry. I probably won't be watching it either tomorrow. I won't be either, but I'll be watching it soon.
Keanu.
I'm so excited for that. But yes,
I'm so happy for all of them.
Yes.
Just that they made the movie, the way they all kind of came together to do it. The fact that, like, David Mitchell, who was, like, the novelist of Cloud Atlas, is the co-writer on it. It's like, I don't know. I'm just so happy for them.
I'm kind of super, super stoked to watch it. But, yeah. Sorry, I took us off on a Matrix tangent.
Oh, no, it's beautiful.
Thank you so much for everyone who's listened to us in 2021. If you love the podcast, please go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate it. You can always reach out to us, pickyourtakepod@gmail.com. If you want to continue the conversation and let us know your take, you can also go to Twitter @pickyourtake. And we have a Facebook as well.
We do. And thank you to Sean Regan for our artwork and Dude Robots for our music and Natalie Goff for our marketing. And Audio Boom for our distribution, and for all filmmakers out there who make the good and bad movies of this year and are constantly trying to push forward and find safe and creative and productive ways to go out and make entertainment that we all clearly fucking need.
Yeah, I mean, we clearly love movies. That's why we do these podcasts. And I look forward to continuing with this podcast in 2022.
Throwing up the fucking devil horns. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Throwing up double the devil horns.
Happy New Year, everyone. Chris, I love you, man.
Happy New Year, Isaac. Love you.